For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Melinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
Welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. If you're looking for some great family entertainment, look no further than Medieval Times Dinner Tournament here in the Atlanta area. I went about 2 to 3 years ago, and it was so good. But I'm going back because things have changed. That's and right. We've added a queen. And I have the queen in the studio. Her show name is Maria Isabella. She's the king's daughter. But her real name is Ashlyn Super. And Ashlyn, thanks for joining us in the studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you're dressed in your queen attire.
That's right. Very royal.
You're very royal. Royal today, and as you were walking in, everyone was stepping aside, so that must feel really good.
It is very nice, yes.
So Medieval Times has been in the Atlanta area for 13 years. It draws great crowds for every show. And tell us where it's located in the Atlanta area.
So we're about 30 minutes north of Atlanta in Sugarloaf Mills Mall. I know that's a little strange. We have a giant castle on the side of a mall, but I always say you can't miss it. So
you can't miss it, and definitely. It works. So there you go.
That's right.
Okay, so give us, for people who have never gone, and because the show has changed, just because you've gone once doesn't mean you've seen it all, because
definitely.
The show has changed.
That's right.
And we're going to talk more about that. But give us a little synopsis about what it's all about.
Definitely. So if you've never been to Medieval Times, it is sort of a dinner theater, but kind of on steroids. We have a dinner and tournament. So it's all based in the 11th century. We have a four-course feast that we feed you throughout the show.
I have to tell you, that is the greatest food ever. I love it.
A lot of people underestimate it. Honestly, it's really good. And actually, I'm lucky enough they feed me on stage, which is another
great
perk. Yeah.
Well, you're queen.
That's
what
true.
You get to be.
I eat with my guests.
Yes, of course. Okay, give us a little synopsis what the show is all about.
Definitely. So the new show that we have just debuted in November here in Atlanta. We have nine locations total, and ours was actually the last to debut. So there was a lot of anxiety, like anxious excitement going up to it. But once we finally got the script, we were all super excited to start working on it. And it's basically, it's based around a queen. So that's Queen Maria Isabella, and she is the king's daughter. She came into this role very recently, and this is actually the first tournament that she's held since the passing of her father. So,
as the newly queen of the past king,
Yes. Are
you nervous during the show? Because that's a lot of power for you.
Definitely. So the storyline is that the knights actually petitioned me to hold the tournament. So I am excited for it. I've been to tournaments with my father before, so I'm familiar with the code of chivalry. I'm familiar with the guidelines of war and battle and how everything is supposed to be done. But I think Medieval Times has always been based around chivalry and honor, and that's what the real Medieval Times was like. That's how it was being a knight. And so I just want to make sure that everyone keeps those values throughout the entire tournament.
So they're jousting on horses.
That's right.
To the death, or so, just to the rules end.
You'll have to see the show to find out, but it is very that's actually one of the things that's kind of up in the air. So it's kind of getting to realize like what the best way of holding a tournament is and how far you want to go before, you know, what the difference is between pleasing your guests and doing the right thing. So.
Okay. Now tell us a little bit about the food. Look at me going back to the food.
Definitely.
Okay, because you said it's a 5-course meal.
Yes, so it starts out with garlic bread and tomato soup.
And that's the best tomato soup.
It's
ever.
Really good. Honestly, I think everything tastes better when you're eating it with your hands.
Okay, that's so. I forgot about that. You don't
that's
get
right.
silverware.
We didn't have silverware in the medieval times, so.
Okay, so you're actually, you know, my kids enjoyed it because this is the way they eat anyway. They just turn the bowl up and you just just drink it.
Mm-hmm. And we have pewter like plates and bowls and everything, so it's very authentic.
Yes. Okay. So we have that course, and then comes
definitely. So then you get, I believe, the potato next. You get so the main course would be the half breast chicken or half roast chicken, but that is
the most moist chicken
it's really
ever.
Good.
I don't know how they do it for so many people.
I don't either, actually.
Now the show is going on
mm-hmm.
while servers are quietly
that's right
going in between the crowd serving mm-hmm. the food.
Right. So before the show starts, you'll have your server come to your table, and it is an arena style setting. So if you've never been to the show before, it's like basically like movie theater style seating, mm-hmm. but in a like in the round. And so your server will come to your table, and so before the show starts, they'll kind of explain everything to you, especially if you've never been to the show. That's super helpful. And they're always, sometimes they'll speak in accents. They're very, you know, in character. Everyone is very medieval, and they'll explain all the courses, how everything is going to be going. And and they're very good about timing. And everything is always hot. When served, it's really cool.
And there's not a bad seat in the house.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, it is, I think, a little bit cooler to see everything so up close when mm-hmm. you're right in the front row, and the knights will like throw flowers into the audience when they win one of their games. So it is, I guess, easier to catch a flower if you're in the front row. But
well, that's good to know. So I'm going to book my seats
right.
on the front
I mean,
row.
It's up to you, but
the closer I am to the horses, the better.
Oh yeah.
No offense, Queen.
Oh, I don't blame you at all. I agree.
Okay, so we have the soup, the baked potato, mm-hmm. the moist chicken you will ever put in your mouth.
That's
okay,
right.
That's 3 courses. What's
and
next?
Then we also give you corn with that, and mm-hmm. so it's like a little corn on the cob, which is delicious. I don't know what they do that to that either, but it's so good. And then for dessert, we have an ice cream, which is actually pretty new. I think it was within the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
We started giving out the ice cream for dessert, which is so good. We put some caramel drizzle on the top of it.
Gosh.
And it's, I think, a black currant ice cream,
yeah.
But it's really good.
That's great. Well, you know what I loved? While everyone's getting ready before the show, while y'all are practicing and we're in kind of a holding area,
yes.
you can have your adult beverages,
that's
if
right.
you would like, and your stein. And the gift shop
oh my gosh,
is
yes.
full of medieval...
Everything. We've got swords, shields, all kinds of foam swords and shields so that the little ones don't hurt each other. But
you also have some really nice, high-end, expensive collector's items.
That's right. We've got some suits of armor that we sell. It is a bit more rare to sell one of those, but they're very, it has happened, definitely.
Yeah.
So they're very cool.
Now let's talk about the costumes mm-hmm. that everyone wears. They're to the period,
definitely.
To a T. They're very elaborate. You're in your queen attire today,
right.
and it is exquisite.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I can't take any of the credit for it. I'm so thankful to be able to wear this beautiful costume. But all of our costumes are actually handmade in, I believe, our Dallas location, which is our corporate location. And we have all of our wenches costumes, our serfs, the knights costumes, which are all new for this show, by the way, as well. So those look really cool. Especially my favorite part of the knights costumes in this new show is probably their helmets.
Mm-hmm.
Before, in the joust procession, right before all of the action starts. I mean, the whole show is action, but right before the actual combat, they all have a procession of their amazing costumes, their shields, and it's all with the kingdom, so it all like coincides. It's really, really cool.
And depending on what side you're sitting on, you kind of get to choose who you're pulling for.
That's right, yeah. So our arena is separated into six different sections. That means that there's six different knights. So you will be assigned, like when entering the castle, you'll be assigned a certain color. That's the crown that you'll get. And if you get any banners, it's recommended. I guess you don't have to, but it's recommended that you get those those same banners. So, yeah, I don't know how good your knight will feel if you get a different color.
Right. Now, you're also dealing with something that's very unpredictable. I mean, you're out there riding and dealing with horses, and they're so unpredictable. Right. What do you do if you get a horse that's just in having a bad day?
Right. Well, with any live theater performance, there's anything can happen, and mistakes do happen. But thankfully, the knights practice a lot, and they also practice a lot of, I guess, important like safety techniques, and they are very well trained when it comes to that. You don't even become a knight until after over 8 months of training as a squire. So we're very careful, and like I said, their safety like rituals are very important to them, especially our head knight, Jason, at the Atlanta Castle. I know he takes that very seriously.
I would like to just go down in the stables and spend a little time with the horses and petting them. So you have a lot of lines that you have to memorize. And I was telling you before the show that there's no way that I could be an actress because I can't memorize anything. And you have a lot of lines, especially in the knighting before the show actually starts.
So in addition to the entire show, we did have to learn an entire, so it is a traditional knighting ceremony that we perform before the show or after the show, depending on who would like to get knighted. A lot of times it's for a celebration, but yeah, previously the king had done knighting ceremonies, so it was I was honored to be able to do that now is really cool.
Okay, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more about medieval times. You're listening to Atlanta Living, only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, we're ready for our dinner and a show at Medieval Times, and we want to tell you how the best way for you to get tickets to that show, and the queen herself is going to tell you, Ashlyn Super, better known in the show as Maria Isabella. She's the king's daughter and taking over the king's duty in the show. So, Maria Isabella, how did they get tickets to the show?
Absolutely. So we have a lot of shows coming up, especially for the spring break season. The best way to get tickets would either be to call the number 1-800-WE-JOUST, which will connect you to our call center, and you can get tickets to any of our shows that way. The other way to get tickets would be going on our website, which would be medievaltimes.com.
Okay. And that will get you everything. That's the show, the dinner.
That's right.
The pregame festivities that happen while you're waiting for the show to start.
Definitely.
And tell us where you're located again.
We're located in Sugarloaf Mills Mall off of Highway 85. There is we're about 30 minutes north of Atlanta.
Okay, just curious, is there any improvisation going on in the show with your lines or your movements?
Definitely. So we actually have a new character, the Chancellor, Lord Cedric, in the show, who is actually one of my favorite parts in the show. He's just a really funny guy, older, quirky, man, but before the show, he kind of takes the role that our princess had before and takes photos with everyone as they come into the castle. And he, the man that plays that at our Atlanta castle, is just the biggest character. So he is always improvising. There's always new stories about Lord Cedric and, you know, his spirit of Bacchus, if you will, you know. So you'll have to come meet him to find out.
So every show is a little different.
That's right.
Okay. So if you want to give that website one more time.
Definitely. MedievalTimes.com.
Okay. And this is great family fun.
Definitely.
And so it's dinner and a show.
And for a great price. Yes. We've got special deals for spring break where our kids and students can come for just $30.95. And that's any student from anywhere. You don't even need a student ID. But college students are welcome. Everyone, we would love to have you. And our adult tickets are only $39.95.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Marietta Plastic Surgery.
Hi, and welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Well, the name Watershed is a mainstay here in the Atlanta area as far as restaurant goes, but it's morphed several times. And I have the new owner in the studio, Matt Marcus. He's the owner of Watershed on Peachtree Street. And I also have my foodie correspondent, David Danzig, of the website bitesandsights.net, and my foodie correspondent in the studio. And we're enjoying some charcuterie and just having a great time. And I wanted to bring Matt in because he's really taken Watershed and taken it to a whole new level here on Peachtree Street. And I've been to Watershed through several of its owners over the past few years, but I've never seen it at this level, Matt.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for coming in and giving us a shot. No, we're really, really excited and happy. We're coming to the end of our first year as owning Watershed, and we've really been happy with our ability to make impactful decisions in the back of the house and the front of the house. Being the chef owner, it allows us to be really conscious of where we're purchasing our food, how we're preparing it, and how we're training the staff in the back and front. So, you know, a few of the things that we are really proud of is we're on a whole animal program with local farmers. We do all of the charcuterie in-house. We truly are a scratch kitchen. And
Now, what does that mean, scratch kitchen?
So scratch kitchen means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But for us, it means that everything we do is made in-house using old techniques. Some new, some old techniques, but we're literally making every single thing in-house except for the burger buns, which come from Best Bread in Chamblee, which we happen to love. But that means all the way down to the aioli. So like the mayonnaise that we're putting on the burger is made with non-hydrogenated beef fat as opposed to canola oil.
Wow.
So it's eggs and beef fat. You know, so we're able to use some of the byproduct, keep our costs down and production up, and teach cooks and chefs basically how we used to do things. So when I say scratch kitchen, it means nothing comes in prefabricated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, David, you have been enjoying the charcuterie
trend. I've been sort of unable to speak for a minute, but I did want to come up for air and just, you know, acknowledge you, Chef. You know, Watershed has really become sort of an emotional tie, I think, for a lot of people in the city.
Yeah.
It really was one of, if not the farm-to-table pioneer. I mean, now that's so cliched, yawn. But back then, that was like, whoa, wait, everything has come from some nearby farm. That was amazing. And it sort of set the Southern cuisine. I mean, it really just put a flag in the city as a leader for that Southern cuisine. And, you know, as Belinda mentioned, it's kind of gone through different chefs over the years. But right now, I mean, I think you are taking the most risks, and that I want that to the listener to know that doesn't, it's not like a daredevil kind of thing.
It's not a bad
but
thing.
There are things on your menu where I go, whoa, I've never heard of that, and that sounds so unique. Mm-hmm. And there's multiple examples I'm sure you can talk about, but you also make the prettiest plates right now in the city. If you are an Instagrammer, you've not been to Watershed on Peachtree, I really advise you to check it out. But more than anything, as you describe everything, I think the listener should know this is approachable, southern, middle of the fairway, center of the plate dishes. It's hearty. There's not little, you know, it's not like a little chickpea with truffle oil drizzled on it just to look and foam. But that's what I really thought. We're so excited to have you on the show because you're doing things now. I think southern cuisine had plateaued. To me, it feels like you are now heading back up the mountain.
Well, thank you. That means a lot. That means a whole lot coming from you. And one of the things that we've tried to do is take the staff's input and personal influence. So the Watershed of before was mainly, you know, low country southern food. We now have people on the staff that are coming from the Bayou, coming from New Orleans. Myself, who spent time in the Delta, I spent time in the Appalachians in Tennessee. You know, we are trying to use all of those influences that are the South and all the indigenous product, which sometimes are new to people who have been kind of locked in the belt buckle, like I was, until I started to travel the South. And you see there are different cuisines and different products coming from all over the place. And that's why we've done things like we put a glossary on the back of our dinner menu, because a lot of the terms are very common to me. But to the average diner, it's just kind of mind-blowing. And some of the terms might just be a flower that mm-hmm. grows yep. on top of a root vegetable. But we want to use the actual name as opposed to just say flowers and fun stuffs or something yeah. like that on the menu. You know, so we really try and use things that are very micro-local. Most of our farmers now are urban farmers that are within Decatur, within Atlanta, Fulton County limits. So we're really trying to use that. Our veal program is Milledgeville, you know. Our pig program is Ossabaugh and Cheshire from Stone Mountain Cattle and Hamthropology. So it's like we're really trying to bring this revival of southern food, because there are so many products that a place that's, you know, kind of catered to doing fish and chips, fried chicken and roasts and stuff just aren't able to do, which is really, really nice. We have exposure. We're working with farmers. I mean, I saw some bolted Haruku turnips yesterday that came in from the farm. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen a turnip with all the leaves attached and then flowers on top. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And what happens to these turnips when they start to bolt is the structure of the stem gets different. It gets more tender. It gets more floral. You know, so all these flavor notes change different times of year, different microcosms of how, you know, it's grown. And we're trying to give that to the guests. So we really, we're trying to do it without pretension. And my understanding of pretension is Buckhead. You know, I've gone out and I paid $42 for a piece of fish on a plate with some arugula.
Right.
To me, that is pretension. I'm giving you a plate, say a redfish dish. You get stone crab, you get uni, you get the redfish, you get preserved corn mock shoe with a little bit of truffle. I mean, that is for $34.
Wow.
You know, so that to me is not pretentious. It's giving you all the things that I can, that I have the ability to give you without the fluff around it, without the frou-frou, and giving you a sense of value, because I want you to be able to try this thing. I mean, if you got the same amount of uni that I give to people on the redfish dish at a sushi place.
That's sea urchin, Belinda.
Yeah,
I don't think that's my jam. I don't think that's your
jam.
Yeah,
I was like,
it's unreal. Have you tried it?
No.
Try it.
I'm not the most adventurous eater.
Next time you come in, I'll send you just a little bit out.
Okay.
It's an acquired taste, admittedly, but
okay.
I like it. And we've
I love uni.
And we've used uni as a cooking vessel as well. So we've used the fat from uni in replace of some other fats that you might use in some of our fish dishes, which is super cool. Some of the other, like we take all the fat that we pick out of our crabs and we dehydrate it overnight. We have like this crab dust that is just, I mean, it's almost
yeah,
like
it's
crab.
So, the creativity is really hard to
well,
compare.
I'm interested, Matt, in what you've done to the menu from the previous owners who had great menus.
You know, there was nothing wrong with the menu. They were superb. So what have you done to put your own stamp on the menu?
So I think what we've done to put our own stamp on the menu is first of all, I came from a different background as the other chefs that were there prior to.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been able to put a lot of my soul and my heart into the menu. And we've also taken influence from the staff. So I have staff members that have been there for 19, 20 years.
Wow.
So we have a pork dish on the menu that was basically the cultivation of all of us
yeah.
to get to this
Well,
dish.
That's kind of cool.
So we're doing an empanada with cheese grits on the inside. I don't know if I had never heard of that. So, you know, we had this idea off an empanada, and then it went to talking with some of the cooks. And then the next morning, you know, I see on my phone the alarm's been disarmed in the morning, and one of my cooks is in there at 4 in the morning starting a mole for this. And we hadn't even talked about it. He's just, that is the passion that is in this building right now. Is we talk about
wow.
one dish, and I've got a guy that shows up at 4 in the morning to start the mole.
That's you know, incredible.
That
just
amazing.
For me to taste. That's not even to go on
He's
the
not sure
yet.
It's going to make
He's
it.
He's not sure it's going to make it, but there's so much passion just in that mole that started at 4 in the morning, and when I tasted around 2 o'clock, I was like, all right, dish is done. This is delicious.
So from day to day, how often does the menu change, or week to week?
So we have been changing the menu every day. Right now,
are you kidding me?
No, not at all. And that's lunch and dinner. So right now we're kind of in this flux of bolted things and flowers, and spring is knocking on our door
mm-hmm.
and the peas are growing, but they're not there yet. And we're having some cool nights. So some of the spring stuff isn't really coming that hard
mm-hmm.
Right now. So we're really being more strategic with our menu changing now, because in the beginning it was kind of like, okay, let's throw a whole bunch of ideas at the dartboard and see what people like.
Yeah.
And we started to really see what people like. And we took a lot of guest feedback. And it was like, okay, you guys, this is what's up. So let's cook this for you. So really now we're kind of into our role. So really there will be small tweaks on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
But we will probably wind up with major changes in the season now. And then we'll just pull dishes here and there and add dishes here and there. So overhauls are basically done. We've gone through the gamut. I mean, we even did jellyfish right off the bat, which, you know, jellyfish.
Well, you're spooking some people here. Blenda's
yeah, no,
eyes are
like,
wide open.
Well, I think, you know, as a chef, jellyfish was one of the third most exported goods in Georgia. It is a huge crop for us, and it can keep shrimpers in the water if we can figure out how to use it. We figured out how to use it, just people don't want to
I think it. What people want to know most about Watershed is the fried chicken still available?
The fried chicken is still available. The fried chicken is available every day now.
It used to be once a week, Wednesdays, right?
It used to be on Wednesdays,
yeah.
But we whip the cast irons out every day. We
nice.
Only do 10 orders, so we're generally sold out by about 7:30. But we do it every day. You get half a bird. You get collard greens that are done with Dr. Pepper that are super sick. They're delicious. Pickles on the side and a deviled egg. And on the deviled egg, we spike it with some caviar.
Nice.
We put a radish
man.
On it, some crispy chicken skin. You know, just because.
All right, let's leave them hungry for this segment. You're listening to Atlanta Living with Matt Marcus, owner of Watershed, and my buddy David Danzig of the website bitesandsights.net. We'll be back with more Atlanta Living right after this.
Check back often for breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts all weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now more of Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. I know I can hear your stomach growl from here. We're talking with Matt Marcus, owner of Watershed here on Peachtree Street. And we've talked about a little jellyfish that may scare you just a bit. But we threw in the fried chicken, which has your mouth watering. But what about burger? Do you have just a burger on the menu?
Oh, boy, do I have a burger. Like we were talking earlier, we do everything in-house. So we grind our burger in-house, and it comes from the scraps of from other steaks that are on the menu. So you get short rib in there, you get rib loin, you get a little bit of chuck. One of the coolest things that we do is we take the chain off of the rib loin, and we hot smoke it. Then we take the smoked chain, and we grind it into the burger. so that throughout every bite, even if you get our burger medium rare, our burger's a two-hander, by the way.
Oh gosh,
it's not a, you know, it's not,
it's
a,
not a date night of, burger.
It's not. It is if you want to marry
not,
the lady.
Not the first date, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, not the first date, but we grind the rib cap that's been hot smoked into the burger meat, so it really carries this well balanced, subtle note of smoke throughout the burger, and we top it with red onion jam, and then we basically constructed this burger to have all the flavors of a perfect burger. So we're using this red dragon cheese. It's a cheddar that's aged with mustard seeds. So that gives you like the little mustard note to it. Bib lettuce. We will be putting tomatoes on the burger when we get the phone call about tomatoes.
Yeah.
You know? And it comes with French fries. And something to talk about our French fries. I mean, our French fries took 3 months to figure out. We went through probably 16 different potatoes, 100 different methods, and I think we finally figured out.
Are you serious?
I am absolutely serious. I am totally serious. So I think we have figured out the best French fry in Atlanta. Prove me wrong, please.
Okay, I'm ordering the burger and the fries the first time I go in there.
And don't be surprised if it comes on a super cute Malamine plate. So we bought some of these plates with my daughter, my 2-year-old daughter.
Oh.
And all the staff is just up in arms about using them for the burger. So you might see The Simpsons on your plate for the burger.
Oh, how adorable.
Or you might see Harry Potter. It's just super cute, playful, you know, have a good time. So that's really the main story about the burger at Watershed.
Well,
a good time.
I'm super proud of you, proud of what you're doing over at Watershed, and where you're going, where you're taking it. And what's the exact physical address of Watershed?
1820 Peachtree. So I'm 2 minutes from you.
Yeah, and I'll have links up at bitesandsights.net, my website, with some bio information about Matt, some information about Watershed, some pictures I've taken of gorgeous plates when I've been there. Absolutely check it out.
It's on my radar for in the very near future.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.